Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to pick up, and I don't think it's any coincidence whatsoever, the Lord is in the matter. When somebody, you know, quote unquote, like takes your text or steps all over your text, it immediately brings a sense of fear. Why is that? It's to be a validation that the Lord is in the matter. So I'm going to trust the Lord and move forward in that. Josh and I did not compare notes, by the way. We were sitting across each other at lunch, and we were not talking about what we had on our mind. Hebrews chapter 3. Start here in verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So the Lord speaks to his people. The living God has spoken to his people. Throughout all time, he has spoken to his people. And we've heard his voice. And oftentimes we harden our hearts. We do not listen. We hear the words, but we don't hear the words. We don't let the words land and believe his words and then move in action of belief. We oftentimes harden our hearts. And we find ourselves in a state of unbelief. Here, I believe Apostle Paul pointing to the children of Israel having heard God's word and having hardened their hearts at the time that Brother Josh so ably preached to us of going into a land that God had told them was going to be theirs. For, I don't know how many hundred years, a long time, God had told them, this is going to be your land. We can go back into Genesis, I believe they're in chapter 15, and God told Abram at the time, told Abram, not I will give you a land. It says, a land that I have given you. Amen. Thy seed, it is already theirs. Right. Not one day I'll figure out a way that promised land will be theirs. No, it's already promised. Everything that's required, he's already taken care of it for them. That's what the Lord told Abram. And then Isaac and Jacob and all the children of Israel. Do you think they talked about it? Do you think as time went on, the fathers and the mothers told the children about that land that had been promised to Abram? That had been promised to the children of Israel? I think they did. I think all of the people and all the tribes of Israel knew about that promise. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. See, the Lord had been with the children of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness. And just because of his anger towards their unbelief, he didn't leave them. He stayed with them. And as they went through that time, those 40 years of trial, because of their unbelief, the Lord was with them. And in a mighty manifest way, the Lord was with them. I mean, they had food on the ground in the morning, and all they needed to do was go and pick it up and eat. They had quail. I love quail. They had water that just flowed from a rock. They had the Lord himself. They had a pillar of smoke by day for shade and a pillar of fire by night for light and for warmth. The whole time they had God with them. He had promised to be with them. That's the words that he spoke to the children of Israel. You have saw my words 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with this generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, and this is the point I trust that the Lord would bring out this morning or this afternoon, so you can have it, right? They shall not enter into my rest. Not that they shall not enter into heaven. That's not what this is talking about. They shall not enter into his rest. a particular rest that the child of God, those children of Israel, and us. Because this applies to us. This isn't just us knowing about those people way back then. This is a lesson for us. Because we face those things too. They shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart. Remember that hardening heart? Of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Departing how? Walking away from Him forever? No. Departing in unbelief. The Lord speaks to them and they harden their hearts. And they removed themselves from God. Not that He removed Himself from them. Brother Mike, we heard that this morning. When we find ourselves removed from our living God, it's not because He walked away, it's because we turned our back. But He's always there. Departed from the living God. And because we need to kind of convince this for time's sake, we're not going to go and read on to see how He reiterates the point that where there's unbelief, there is a lack of rest. There's like unrest. Right? And where there is belief in the words that God has told us, Brother Randy, when the Lord tells us that this is the way it's going to be, and we believe Him, you know where we find ourselves? Rest. That's a good place. I want to be in a place of rest. I want to be in a place of trusting in the promises that God has told me and He has told you. That He's told us in His Word. And that He has demonstrated and told our hearts in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, He has given us solid and perfect promises. And has God ever not fulfilled those promises? Has He ever shown Himself not capable and willing to deliver on the promises that He has made His people? Not once. So when He speaks those things to us, and we believe them, where do we find ourselves? Rest. That's where we find it. So He's pointing back here. He's speaking to these Hebrew people about something that they understood and appreciated, pointing right back to the Old Testament. So if you'll allow me, we'll turn that for a little bit. I'd like to look in Deuteronomy chapter 1. It has another account where it gives more detail about them going into the promised land. We can look at that in Numbers 13, but for this, it's good for us to stay in one place. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, and we are rehearsing the account of what had happened. Looking back on it as a lesson for where they were at right now in their story. Deuteronomy chapter 1, we'll start reading here in verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. There it is. We're here. I mean, we're looking at it. It's right across the way, right across Jordan. It's right there. He has set the land before thee. And remember what it said, that the Lord had already given them the land. He had already promised a land that I had given thee, given thy seed. It says, behold, the Lord hath set the land before thee. And here's the Lord's words to them. Go up and possess it. What do you think? Do you think there's extra instructions added on to that? Did He say, go out and spy the land? There it is. It's set before you. Go and possess it. Like, go in and get it. It's right there. And it's going to be great. It's going to be everything that you need. And the Lord is going to be with you. It talks about fear not, be not dismayed, for He is with us. He has given us everything that we need to go right in and possess it. Says, fear not, neither be discouraged. Look at verse 22. And ye come near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. So did the Lord say, go up, spy the land? No, he just said, go possess it. It's right there, go. I'm with you. And I've told you that it's yours. Go get it. And I was like, wait a second. I don't know about this. How about, Lord, how about we send some spies up? Find out if it's possessable or not. Go find out if it's actually going to be ours or not. Is it obtainable for us? It sounds like hardening of a heart. The Lord told them, the Lord sent his word, and they, in a moment of what? Unbelief. They found themselves, as we go on, of not being able to have that rest that we're speaking of. And the saying pleased me well, again, Moses. And the saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of every tribe, and they turned and went to the mountain and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. They went and did that spy activity we've heard about already. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land. Just like the Lord told us it was a good land. It is a good land. Come to find out, the Lord was right. He promised it was going to be a good land. And sure enough, we have evidence. Not only do we have testimony that it's a good land, but we have fruits. We pulled back grapes. What about pomegranates? Brought back olives. We brought back proof that the Lord's word is true and we can trust some promises of his. But yet, not all of them had the same report. Not all of their hearts had the same report. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he had brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us. I think they're in a deep place of what? Unbelief. And I think they're in a place of great unrest and turmoil, of not knowing and fearing and being dismayed. The things that the Lord told them not to do. It says, whither shall we go? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Like we went down and here's the report. It's a good land, just like the Lord said. It would be a nice place to live, and we would have wells that we did not dig. We would have the fruit of vineyards that we did not plant. We would be able to just go into a land that's flowing with milk and honey and just enjoy all that would be there, except for this one thing that's the problem, is there's giants in the land. Like, the foe is too much for us. And the cities, have you seen the cities? They're walled up so high, they're impenetrable. They're impassable. They're too much for us. Was that not their report? The Lord told them, go and possess it. Go in to possess that good land that I didn't just tell you about, but I told you about a long time ago, and that y'all have been talking about, and that have been a motivator for y'all all this time. Here it is. Unbelief. Why? Because of the giants. Because of the things that are scary. That on our own we cannot face. And those walls. Now, I thought about those walls. Are there not walls that are we feel sometimes are impenetrable or impassable? They're just too high. Maybe relationships that you have with a brother or sister, you're like, there it is, never again. With us, that's not going to happen. But what about our God? There's no giant that's too much for our Lord, and there's no wall that's too high for our Lord. I tell you what, a high wall will be in front of our Lord. It'll be those walls of Jericho where He just says, down. Amen. The Lord said, go in and possess it. And they had an opportunity to just say, yes, Lord, let's go. Let's go. We're going to trust and we're going to believe that You are able. We're going to go in Your strength and not in our own strength. But instead, in unbelief, we find that they opened it up. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, He shall fight for you according to all that He did for you in Egypt before your eyes. You've seen Him work. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bear thee. Our God. Their God. Our God. Lord thy God. Bear thee as a man doth bear his son. Does that give us a picture? As a man beareth up his son. You know, I've seen some of that this weekend where a mother or father is taking their little child. Maybe they have fallen down to the dirt and gotten dirty before the first service. And that father just picks them up, right? And is bearing them. Holding them up. With His strength. Holding up His children. Their God and our God bears up His children. The children of Israel through those 40 years through the wilderness. I mean, before that, as they crossed over the Red Sea, He bore His children through those things. And He never really let them down. As a man beareth his son, in all the way that he went until you came into this place, yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out of the place to pitch your tent in fire by night, and show you what way you shall go in a cloud by day. Protection and direction and proof that He's always with them. How wonderful is our God. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wrought. I feel rightfully so. Our words, as we come up to a place where the Lord says, there I promised unto you. And we've seen Him guide us and bear us along the entire way, delivering that promise after promise. And then we get to the next thing and we say, no, we can't. It can't be. I can't. We can't. There's no way. I can see the Lord being rocked with that kind of unbelief. Surely there shall be none of these men of this evil generation see the good land in which I swear unto your fathers. None of the 12 spot, no, because it was possible for them to believe. It's not just because we're human where we don't have the capability to hear the Lord's words, know His power, and see His deliverance, and then believe what He has told us. It is possible. Maybe percentage-wise it's less like, I don't know. But there was 2 out of the 12 that came back that said, oh yeah. Oh yeah, we can go in. It's ours. The Lord can take care of these tall men. Those walls are nothing. They came back to report and they said, let's go. Let's go. That shows they were in a place of belief. Believing their God. And being in a place of much rest. They were in a place of much rest, I think, right there. I think there was a lot of people stressed out, right, of what would happen next. Caleb, that went in and spied it out and came back with a good report, believing God. I believe he was in a state of rest right there within himself. And Joshua the same way. And we heard that he would go and he would lead it with that. Then we see that those people in a very visible manner would not get to go in and enter into that good land that had been promised to them. Does that mean that they weren't going into heaven's pure world when they... Absolutely not. That's nonsense. But here in their life, they found themselves in a place of unrest and missing the sweet blessing of that rest. I tell you, I'm thankful to be among the primitive Baptists, among the us who are the Calebs of this world. That you brought unto me good report that the Lord has been with you in your life and has delivered you through those things. And as you face trial after trial in your life, you look and you say, have you seen what He's done in our lives? He'll lead us through. I'm among the people who were Joshuas of this world, who encouraged me and said, be not dismayed. Be of no... Don't fear. The Lord has borne us up. He holds us in His arms, and He will not let us go. Continue to be the Joshuas among His people and the Calebs among His people, telling ourselves and telling other people in our life, the Lord is with us. He's been with us, He is with us, and He's going to go on being with us. Be in a place of rest. I desire to be in a place of rest. This is a house of rest. This is a place of belief. I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. I want to be a place of rest more often. Lord bless you.